It's a simple idea. Send convicted abusers who illegally possess guns to jail with a little extra help from federal firearms laws. But as Guns and America's Hadi Mawagdi reports, it's part of a larger mission to not only help survivors, but decrease violent crime.
Inside the Earl Campbell Federal Building in downtown Dallas sits the U.S. Attorney for Northern Texas. Her name's Erin Neely Cox.
And why don't I give you, I'll give you just three cases. We have a lot of them, but they represent, you know, a misdemeanor, a felony, and a protective order.
We're talking about some of the cases her office has pursued in an effort to decrease violent crime. Neely Cox lands on one. The abuser was charged with having a gun after a court told him he wasn't allowed to have one.
He was served with a protective order in 2018 after allegedly holding his girlfriend and her 7-year-old daughter in his garage against their will.
Legally speaking, that protective order should have kept the abuser away from his girlfriend, but it didn't. Instead, he threatened her with a handgun.
So we prosecuted that case. He pleaded guilty, and he's currently sentenced to 30 months.
Cases like this are common. Researchers say those sorts of restrictions don't reduce the chances of domestic violence victims from being shot to death when they're given out at the state and local level.
But the federal misdemeanor crime of domestic violence firearm restriction has been associated with reductions in intimate partner homicide.
That's April Zioli. She's a professor of criminal justice at Michigan State University. Zioli studies if policies or laws can prevent gun violence.
A domestic violence event that involves a gun is far more likely to end in death than a domestic violence event that involves any other weapon.
It's this sort of research that led Neely Cox and the Department of Justice to focus on domestic violence cases as a way to cut down on violent crime overall.
With limited resources, how do we make the biggest impact with our gun crime laws? And time again, it came down to the nexus between gun crime, violent crime, and domestic violence.
This strategy makes advocates for domestic violence victims ecstatic. Jan Langbein's the CEO and founder of Genesis Women's Shelter in Dallas. And she says to end gun violence, it'll take a village.
We can shelter, but that's not good enough if there's no arrest. And the arrest isn't good enough if there aren't prosecutors prosecuting or judges hearing these cases.
Prosecuting abusers doesn't just protect women, says Langbein. It protects entire communities.
In fact, more police officers are killed responding to that crime than any other crime. So it's not just, hey, let's make her safer. Let's make our city safer. Let's make our police safer.
Advocates aren't the only ones that are happy about Neely Cox and the DOJ's crackdown on domestic abusers with guns. Arlington, Texas Police Chief Will Johnson says it takes both state and federal resources to make cities safer.
This violence is real, and being able to address it systematically has to be a priority for communities as they start to try to prevent these acts of violence from occurring.
Johnson says there's a connection between domestic violence and other violent gun crimes, like homicides and even mass shootings. Researcher April Zioli agrees.
Those who commit severe domestic violence are highly likely to commit other violent crimes as well, that they don't limit their violence to the home.
Recently, Zioli took a look at the backgrounds and criminal histories of 73 mass shooters. She was looking for a connection between mass shootings and intimate partner violence. 28 of them were known abusers. And of those 28, she says we missed out on opportunities to stop 17 of them before they acted out violently. Erin Neely Cox says law enforcement should be using all of its tools to prevent violence.
It is a community-wide issue, and men and women and all of us, we need to step up and we need to figure out a way to do something about it.
For Guns in America, I'm Hadi Mawagdi.